Agreeable. Written by Diaster. Read by Opal Song. Fandom, Hockey RPF. Rating, teen. Relationship, Sidney Crosby, Yevgeny Malkin. Also tagged for Alternate Universe BDSM, Established Relationship, Subspace, and Bondage. Part 14 of the To Be Seen Aright series. Warning for the POV character finding himself unexpectedly in a vulnerable, suggestible state while in a public space, surrounded by people he knows. He is safe, but it freaks him out pretty bad.
So I wait for you to take me all the way, take me all the way. Seems you're wanting me to stay, but my dreams would surely waste away, and I still have nowhere else to go.
Sid doesn't realize what's going on until it's too late. He's distracted is the problem. He and Gino decided to try something new today. So as Sid sips his eggnog and snacks on canapes at Vero's holiday party, his mind keeps snagging on the feeling of the ropes wound and webbed around his torso. His awareness of the harness hidden under his clothes ebbs and flows. Sometimes it's hard to think about anything else, much less carry on a conversation. And then sometimes minutes will go by where he doesn't think about it at all. He's having a good time, hanging out with some of his favorite people. Tanger and Catherine, Vero, Niski. It's hard to tell whether the warm, floating contentment he's feeling comes from the company or whether maybe the eggnog is stronger than he thought. The eggnog is pretty strong, but that's not what he's feeling. Niski and Tanger have a long-standing and friendly beef about whether Majors Juniors or the NCAA is the better development path, and they've started in on it again, which is a little rude, since Vero could not care less and Catherine has probably heard Tanger's side of it a million times. Sid's personal sympathies are with the Major Juniors. Hey, it worked for him, but he generally tries to stay out of it. Or he did before. But when Tanger says, just casually, Sid, you were in the queue with me. Tell Niski he's full of shit. Sid says, automatic, easy. Niski, you're full of shit. As soon as the words leave his mouth, Sid's surprised at himself, since he's always been Switzerland in this particular tiff. But he does agree with Tanger. Hockey players don't need to know calculus, and it's dumb to have to blow 2 years of your hockey playing in the USHL, so you don't run afoul of stupid NCAA rules. I guess I felt more strongly about it than I thought, Sid thinks, amused at himself for getting drawn in. Niski looks wounded and says, Sid, man, you can't take his side. You read books. You have interests and shit. Back me up here. Education is important. And then, automatic, easy, Sid says, Niski's right, Tanger. Education is important. And a chill skitters down his spine. Why did I? Because Niski told me to, Sid thinks, as a hole opens up in the pit of his stomach. He told me to back him up and I did it. I didn't even think about it. Sid! Niski claps him on the back, beaming. You're the best, man. The best! At the praise, Sid shivers with pleasure he doesn't want. He doesn't want to feel that. Not here, and not because of this. Turning to Tanger, Niski boasts, "See, Sid agrees with me." "No, Sid agrees with me," Tanger says, scowling. "He said you were full of shit." "It seems Sid is being very agreeable this afternoon," Catherine offers, amused. Tanger responds with a bark of laughter. "Agreeable," he says with affection, "is not Sid's way." "No, it is not," Vero interrupts, placing a hand on Sid's shoulder. "And before this new mood passes, he should come with me and tell me how excellent my plans for redecorating the kitchen are." Her tone is bright as she shepherds Sid away from the group and towards the kitchen. Sid doesn't want to move, but it's not a question of want. Vero pushes, ever so lightly, and he's powerless to resist. And that, too, scares Sid in a distant part of his mind. "Vero," he starts, numb, not knowing what he can say. "Vero, something's wrong." "I know," she says quietly, "but it is going to be all right. I am going to take you to the kitchen, away from everyone else, and I am not going to let anyone else touch you or give you orders. And Marc-Andre is following us, and I will send him to get Gino for you, and Gino will take you home." Under her breath, "He should never have brought you out in public with you in this state."
"What? What state?"
"You are in subspace, Sid," she tells him gently. She pushes him into one of the kitchen chairs and stands over him, on guard.
"In subspace," Sid thinks,
staring down at the white and blue linoleum. "That can't be right," one level of his mind tells him. But a deeper level knows it's true, and it makes him feel cold. When Flower pokes his head in, Vero orders him, "Get Gino." His eyes widen, taking in the tableau, and he nods quickly and vanishes. Sid sucks in a breath. "Vero, I'm freaking out."
"Of course you are," she says, steady and sure. "I can tell that this has not happened to you before, and it must be very disturbing to find yourself feeling so suggestible, as if you must obey doms who are not your dom, even doms you do not trust. But Gino will be here very soon, and I will take care of you until he arrives."
Sid makes himself take a deep breath. It's a little shaky, but it helps.
"Thank you," he whispers.
"Of course," she replies, as if it's obvious. "I know you would do this for Marc-Andre if I were ever so reckless as to take him down and then leave him like that in a public space."
Sid looks up at her, startled. "Don't, please don't be mad at Gino. He didn't know, I didn't know, how it would affect me, the..."
He catches the word harness before it comes out, narrowly avoiding TMI. He blushes and finishes. "We've never before, so he just didn't know."
"Then he should not have left your side," Vero says, implacable.
"Sid..." Gino is there in the doorway, looking alarmed. Sid wants to go to him, but Vero put him here, in this chair. He doesn't feel like he can move.
"You need to take Sidney home," Vero says to Gino. Her voice is sharp. Everything about her suddenly seems sharp. "Whatever you did to him, he has been walking around the party in subspace, suggestible and vulnerable, and you are very, very lucky I noticed before anyone else."
Gino's eyes widen as she speaks, and he makes a beeline for Sid, sinking to his knees.
"So sorry, Sid. I'm so sorry. I don't mean..."
Vero rests a hand on Gino's shoulder, and he looks up at her.
"You should take him home. That is the most important thing. But you should think, also, about how you will keep this from happening again. I do not like to see my dear friend treated in this way."
Gino flushes red and looks at the ground.
"I don't like also," he says softly. "So yes, I'm think. Thank you. Thank you for take care of Sid when he need, and I don't do."
"It was my honor,"
Firo says, softening a little. She inclines her head to Gino, then bends to kiss Sid's forehead. If you go out that way, she points at the door to the deck, and down the steps, you can get around to the front of the house where the cars are parked without having to walk through everyone else. Thank you, Gino says again. As they wend their way across the deck and down the stairs, Gino's arm around Sid's shoulders, he asks Sid, worried, before Vero notice, anybody make you do anything? No, Sid shakes his head. I mean, I agreed with some stuff I don't actually agree with, but that was dumb stuff. Little. It was scary, but nothing bad actually happened. You scared is bad, Gino points out. Sid looks down. The grass is full of little pockets of old, refrozen snow that crunches under their feet. Yeah, he says, quiet. In the car, Gino buckles Sid in, which feels really nice, and then sets his hand on the back of Sid's neck for a minute, grounding him. Sid's eyelids flutter shut and then close. Good boy, Gino murmurs. I take you home and take care. You don't need say anything, do anything. You safe now, with me. Sid hums in agreement. When Gino starts the car, the rumble of the engine and the vibration of the car's frame settle into Sid's body, down to his bones. He feels intensely aware of the twin pressures of the harness against his skin and the seat belt over his waist and chest, held still and safe by two layers of Gino's will. He doesn't think, doesn't worry, doesn't do. After all, Gino said he didn't have to. Sid feels and is at peace. Sid is aware, from a distance, of reaching home, of being led up to the bedroom, of his clothes being removed, and then, like a draft of cold air from an open door, he's aware of Gino's fingers starting to pick apart one of the knots on his chest. He makes a noise, and Gino's hand still. Hmm? He gathers Sid close in his arms. How harness make you feel, Sid? Now. Good, Sid mumbles. Safe. He feels the brush of Gino's lips over his forehead. Okay, then we keep for now. Let you come up by yourself. Sid hovers for a few minutes between the surface and the deep, in case Gino wants to ask him more questions. But no other questions are forthcoming. Instead, Gino leads him through the house again, to the den, where he sits on the couch and arranges Sid to his satisfaction, tucked under a blanket, head in Gino's lap. When he starts to stroke his fingers through Sid's hair, Sid lets go and slips back under. It's too hard to resist that pull, and there's no real reason to. Gino will let him know if anything changes, if he needs Sid for anything. Sid sinks into his body, every millimeter of it. The tension of the rope against his ribs occupies him utterly. The oh-so-gentle tug of fingers in and through his hair twines around his whole being. Time passes. It doesn't mean much. And then, so gradually that Sid can't name a beginning or an end, it recedes. In its wake follow other things. The soft murmur of the television, the red light of sunset painting the wall, and, eventually, the memory of the afternoon. Sid sighs. Gino looks down. You with me? He whispers. I'm always with you, Sid whispers back. Even when I'm under, you know that. Gino smiles, a bit abashed. Yes, so smart, Sid. Always. I know. You up, though? Thinking? Yeah. Sid stretches, twists around to lie on his back, looking up at Gino. Yeah, I'm back. Good. Gino plucks at the harness. Ready for takeoff now? Sid nods. Okay, Gino murmurs. His fingers travel the lines of rope for a minute or so. Finding the right knot to start, Sid thinks. Then he settles on the knot sitting over Sid's heart. Picking the knots apart is hard work, especially the first one. Sid asked Gino once why he didn't just cut the ropes when he was done with them. "Is waste," Gino had explained. "Of course I cut if need for safe, and some tie you need cut, but if I don't need, I don't want to waste, and is feel more careful, more like take care, to do slow and nice, more easy for you to come up, like gentle." He was right, of course. There's something to be said for the speed of the shears, but more often, Sid prefers the attention and the care, likes the excuse to have Gino's hands on him even more. Tonight, that goes double. "I'm surprised, before, you want to keep," Gino says, eyes on his work. "I think after party is make you feel not good, not safe." Sid shakes his head. He'll acknowledge that it's possible, in theory, for Gino's ropes to make him feel unsafe. But it's hard for him to imagine how. The first knot finally comes apart, and Gino moves on to the next one. With the slack in the rope, it only takes a few seconds, and then he's on to the next one. "Is nice you stay with me, with some quiet time," he tells Sid, watching his own hands. "Give me time for think. Think about how I fuck up and how I'm not due again, because very important I'm not due again." Sid has to bite his tongue to keep from saying, "You didn't fuck up." "I think I fuck up two ways," Gino continues. He nudges Sid to sit up and pulls off the remainder of the harness, then drapes the blanket back around Sid's shoulders. "But I want to talk to you. Know what you think. Because maybe you think I fuck up just one way, or more than two ways, okay?" Sid nods, and Gino nods back. "Okay, I think way I fuck up for sure is bring you in harness to party and then not stay with you, is one way, yes?" Sid really doesn't like agreeing with a statement that Gino fucked up. But Gino is saying he fucked up, and Vero, who is a very smart and good dom who Sid trusts, also said he fucked up, so probably it's okay. And in his heart of hearts, if he's being honest with himself, Sid agrees. Gino did fuck up. Vero's right. If they weren't sure how the harness would affect him, Gino should have stayed with him to make sure something like this didn't happen. So he says, "Yes," quietly, checking Gino's face to see if he seems upset. But Gino just nods again, as if that's what he expected. He scoots around on the couch, bringing his left leg onto the cushions so he can face Sid more directly. "Okay, and then I think I fuck up other way just because I bring you in harness to party, like," he searches for a word, "period. Bring you in harness, period, is bad. Because your submission private, and you tell me this lots, and I think this is private, because nobody can see harness. But I think now is not private, because is still put you in bondage in public, and is not good for you."
"I agreed to it. I thought it sounded good too," Sid protests.
Gino inclines his head.
"Yes, I know. But, Sid, if you go in subspace at party, even if I'm with you, I think is still scary for you, and is still not good for your submission, because you don't like other people see you like this, yes?"
Yeah, Sid admits. Just the thought of it makes him shiver and clutch the blanket tighter, even imagining Gino by his side. Having Gino there for it would make it better, but it wouldn't make it okay.
"I didn't think the harness would do that, though. I just thought it would be, like, sexy."
"Yes," Gino says, nodding some more. "I think also,
but this is part of fuck up. If I do thing to you, he says, ducking his head to meet Sid's eyes, is my job think about all ways this thing can, like, make change, you know? Is my job think, maybe sexy, but also maybe subspace. And is that okay if harnesses put Sid in subspace at party? And I don't. I don't think about. So this is second fuck up. He exhales heavily, looking down at the couch. So I'm sorry, Sid. I do two fuck ups and you get scared and is dangerous and is my fault. There's space between Gino's spread thighs. That's just the right size for Sid to slide into and lean against Gino's chest. So he does, offering the touch of his body to confirm his words. It's okay. Everyone fucks up sometimes. I do too. He doesn't need or even want perfection. He needs Gino to do just what he's doing right now. Trying, doing the work, making them both better. Gino lets out another exhale, plainly relieved. Sid best. He winds his arms around Sid and ducks his head to leave a handful of kisses under Sid's jaw, pecking like a bird until Sid starts giggling. And now, I'm think about how I make sure I don't do these two fuck-ups, or same kind of fuck-ups, again. And you let me know how I make up to you, Sid blushes. Gino's tone leaves little doubt as to what kind of making up he's offering. You don't have to do anything to make up to me. Like I said, everyone messes up sometimes. I'm not mad. Gino purses his lips, unimpressed. Spoil you most anyway, he decides. Sid feels his cheeks get even hotter. He hides them in the crook of Gino's neck. Gino's hand cards through his hair, and they stay like that until the background noise of the TV changes to the evening news. When they get up, Gino drapes Sid in the blanket and nudges him to the bedroom to put on sleep clothes. I'm not sleeping yet, Sid protests. We haven't even had dinner. But Gino insists, should be comfy, and pulls the drawstring of the sweatpants snug around Sid's waist. He pauses there, fingers tucked in Sid's waistband, looking down at his own hands. Want to say thank you, Sid. Is hard. His voice cracks, and he pulls in a harsh breath through his nose, then lets it out slowly. Want to thank you for always, always communicate with me so good. Always, always show you appreciate me. Always say so nice things. Make me feel like best Dom. Is help a lot when I fuck up and feel like worst Dom. Is help a lot know you think I take good care. Know you want belong to me. Is stop me from. He shakes his head and steps closer, leaning down just enough to press their foreheads together. Just, you know, when we together in beginning, if I fuck up this big, I'm think, Sid is best sub, should have best Dom, not fuck up like me. I should leave so he can get better Dom who take care of him best. Gino, Sid begins, horrified. Shh. Gino leans back to give him a crooked smile, meeting his eyes for the first time since they got up from the couch. I don't think now. Don't worry. Because you're not, like, hide your love. Always show. So even bad days like this, because you show me you think I'm good Dom, I'm not feel like worst Dom. Just feel like good Dom who fuck up and need to be better and learn. And I know you want I learn with you. And I want also. He brushes his lips over Sid's, once, closed, and then again, just slightly open. Just enough that Sid can feel the warmth of his breath. Love you, Sid. I love you, too. Sid tilts his head up to beg for another kiss, and gets it. He loves so many things about Gino, and this is one of the biggest.
that Gino never makes it a one-way street, never acts like he does all the taking care and Sid's job is to just sit there and absorb it. He's not afraid to let Sid know that he needs him for what he can do, not just what he can take. That Sid takes care of him, too. "And now I'm spoil," Gino announces, perking up. He tugs Sid along behind him down the hall, towards the kitchen. "I'm start with dinner. What you want, Sid? You want dessert for dinner? Cake? Ice cream?" "Gino, I'm an adult," Sid hisses, scandalized. "I can't have dessert for dinner."
"Sid."
Gino stops, turns around, and frames Sid's face with his hands. Solemnly, soulfully staring deep into Sid's eyes, he says, "Whole point of be adult, Sid, is nobody can stop you have dessert for dinner." Sid could argue with him. Or he could have ice cream. "I've had a hard day," Sid decides. "Ice cream for dinner it is," he concedes. And Gino crows with triumph, launching himself into the kitchen and dragging Sid, laughing, behind him. The end. If you enjoyed this podfic, please leave feedback, both for myself and for the author. You can find this podfic at archiveofourown.org/users/opalsong. Thanks for listening!